Another selection there on the Takeaway from America's Hard Times playlist. We want your playlist ideas for hard times. 877-8-MY-TAKE. That was from Dennis, who wrote to our website to tell us that any 1980s playlist must include Hard Times from Run DMC's first album. He went to high school in New York in the 1980s. Dora?
Yeah, people seem to like the 80s around here. And in the 80s and in the 90s, we were doing a whole lot of reporting about how homeless numbers across the country were rising. And today, at a time when the job market is stalling, fuel and food prices are soaring, and Americans are reeling from the home foreclosure crisis, could homelessness rates be going down? Apparently so, or at least according to the Department of Housing and Development. They say 1.6 million people were homeless last year and found shelter. Overall, it says homelessness is down 12% the past several years, chronic homelessness down even more at 30%. For a closer look, joining us now is Michael Stoops, the acting executive director of the National Coalition for the Homeless, and Daniel Malone, director of housing for Downtown Emergency Service Centers based in Seattle. Thank you, gentlemen, both for joining us.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Michael, let's start with you. You track the numbers nationwide. Are they really accurate? Is it possible there's been a 12% decline, which is really significant?
Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to count the homeless population, and 44% of the nation's homeless are unsheltered, living outside, people who don't even bother to go to the shelter system. So we hope that there really is a decrease, but our network of shelters and soup kitchens and housing programs are seeing an increase in homelessness, and this is even before the full impact of the foreclosure crisis and now the unofficial recession that our country is now in.
How do you think they would come up with numbers like this? Because you're really talking about thousands of people who they're saying have now found homes, according to HUD.
Well, the shelters in this country, they have a computerized intake system, and so people who come to the shelter and seek shelter and services, they're being counted as being helped, and hopefully some of those folks are getting into supportive housing programs. So we have a long ways to go, and we see it increasing despite this recent study saying that the numbers are down.
Daniel, you're in Seattle. When you saw this report and you saw the numbers, I mean, what did you think to yourself?
Well, there's certainly been an approach at the federal level to try to do more in the way of counting individuals and families who are experiencing homelessness. And I guess I wasn't particularly surprised that some of the reporting was coming out with decreases in numbers. It's too early, in my view, to tell for sure whether this represents a trend or, you know, perhaps just a brief fluctuation in the numbers that were coming from the sources that they were using.
Mm-hmm.
In our community, for example, we do an annual count on a single day in late January, where not only people who are staying in shelters are tallied, but there's an extensive street count that happens where hundreds of volunteers fan out in the middle of the night and try to identify as many people as they can who are sleeping outdoors. And unfortunately, in our city and county, we saw a little bit of an increase in the street count this year. Of the total 8,400 people identified as homeless in our community that night, over 2,600 were counted to be sleeping outside. You know, it's just an astronomical number of folks.
And you actually work with the chronically homeless in your city. There have been some improvements that you believe have taken place. Can you describe very quickly some of those improvements?
Sure. So my organization is really set up to work with a subset of the homeless population who are experiencing the most severe problems, and that mainly means individuals with really severe mental illnesses and chronic substance abuse problems. And we've found through housing innovations, specifically programs that are now being referred to mostly as housing first programs, where where individuals are selected based on having the greatest vulnerabilities and severest problems and offered a place to live before they have to have stabilized, that they do much better. And not only will they accept housing, but they remain housed once they're inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then other things improve from there. People are more likely to accept psychiatric care, for example.
So basically get people in homes, and then you can work on the rest of the issues. I've just got a few minutes here. Michael, very quickly, this is really both a professional mission, but also a personal one for you, and that homelessness has affected your family. Could you just tell us that story very quickly?
Well, I've been working with homeless folks for over three decades, and I had my grandfather was an alcoholic, and he froze to death on the streets. So I've always had a special empathy for the late stage chronic alcoholic and some of the folks that Dan is talking about.
And so you're really bracing, though, given all of the foreclosures, that for the numbers to rise, yes or no?
Yes, and we want to make sure that those folks do not join the ranks of the homeless population.
Michael Stoops, Acting Director of the National Coalition for the Homeless in Washington, thank you.
Thank you.
And Daniel Malone, Director of Housing, Downtown Emergency Service Center, which runs the 1811 Eastlake Supportive Housing Project for Chronic Alcoholics in Seattle.
Man,
thank you.
That story of his father.
You're welcome.
Grandfather.
That story. Grandfather. It's just, oh, man.